You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
What was your favorite moment? If it's LeBron dramatically, theatrically flopping around on the ground, if it's Luka saying to Patrick Beverley as he backs him down, you're too bleeping small. Bradley Beal mocking Joel Embiid after taking, you know, going right to the rim and doing, you know, all that stuff. Like from the moments, the catty moments of the weekend, what was your favorite?
Well, so Chris Paul gets hurt. Legitimately, his shoulder's messed up. We know it because he couldn't dribble with his right hand. He kept losing the ball. And LeBron's like, wait. There is not going to be a narrative here about a superstar on the other team getting hurt. I got this. So Chris Paul tugs on his arm. LeBron acts like it's just been yanked out. It's trailing with, you know, just tendons and ligaments just hanging out. He rolls on the ground. But what happened was with LeBron was, his moment was stolen from him by Alex Caruso, Cameron Payne, and Montrezl Harrell, because right as everyone's supposed to be really worried about LeBron's shoulder, you got an altercation going over here. So LeBron kind of has to extend the I'm hurt routine as he's laying on the floor waiting for Chris Paul to help him up. And he goes back to the bench and he's kind of like moving around and making faces. Oh, it was tremendous.
It also helped us forget about the fact that LeBron completely got away with breaking NBA COVID protocol because he wanted to do something with a tequila brand or something of his.
That's one of the most interesting things for me. Not that he did or didn't get suspended. I don't care about that. But the interesting thing for me is who in LeBron's camp thought, hey, man, it'll be, he can show up. It's all good. Everyone got tested. LeBron and his, you know, business circle, they're really organized and well thought out about all this type of stuff. I'm surprised they didn't just clear it with the league. Hey, we're having this event. Everyone's going to get rapid tested or show proof of vaccination, et cetera, et cetera. Just on the front end, it seems like something that they could have taken a step to do prior to him actually showing up.
I mean, he is the league. So his people knew even if he attended that event, there's no way they're going to suspend him in the playoffs. He's the league. They're the Lakers. There's no chance of that happening.
I mean, just it would have been nice to know and not have that. Because if they won that game yesterday, guess what? Everybody in Phoenix would be crying. He shouldn't have been allowed to play.
We don't know for sure whether he's even been vaccinated, and it seems like he hasn't been, right? Dennis Schroeder said that he and LeBron are the only two guys, said it a couple of weeks ago, who aren't vaccinated. But LeBron hasn't. He's been private about this. He hasn't come out and said one way or the other, which has led everyone to assume that he hasn't been vaccinated.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are the only team that have not hit the threshold of minimum players or personnel vaccinated in order to do away with some of those COVID protocols. If LeBron is one of them, I mean, that's a pretty big story, I would say.
Yeah, he should. If you haven't gotten a vaccine and you're playing a sport in front of fans, in front of kids, all who have the vaccine, you should be allowed to play. It's irresponsible. Like, seriously, someone, we should be discussing this more. I don't think LeBron should play until he gets the vaccine. That should be his incentive to get the vaccine. Hey, you want to go for your fifth title? Go get vaccinated.
You know what, Sagat? You're totally right. We should discussing it more. Go ahead.
I just did. Okay? It is, Dan, a luxury to be able to play the game of basketball. And all we're asking for LeBron to do is go get a couple of shots. I mean, the guy never gets hurt. He's a robot. He's a machine. Go get a couple of shots. So when you go to the game, and this is a guy who said, by the way, I will never play a game unless there are fans there. Well, guess what? He lied because he played a bunch of games without fans. And now the fans are back, okay? And they're not wearing masks. And I'm not certain we should be doing any of this. But what I am certain of is that LeBron James and any player in the NBA needs to get vaccinated if they want to play in the playoffs. That, you know, like in some states they're doing a lottery to get vaccinated. Hey, we'll give you a million. You have a chance of winning millions of dollars. Well, the NBA should be saying the same thing to their players. You want to play for a title, go get the vaccine. If you don't get the vaccine, you don't get a chance to play for the title. Pretty simple.
Did you catch Sagat's drop in? He's playing in front of kids to make it more dramatic.
You like that? I did that.
I did. I also like that Sagat's, who was coaching kids in Delaware back in last May, is out here mandating vaccines for black people because the optics on that is always great, Sagat.
Listen, we all wore masks. I don't know what to tell you, Mike. And I told my kids, if you want to play moving forward, you better bring your vaccine card. That's it. That's the deal. You want to play for another national championship? You have to earn it. And the way you earn it is by getting a couple of shots. How about that?
Again, though, the optics that Mike speak of that don't even really include the idea that you were flouting all the rules to play lacrosse games that aren't exactly funding an economy for the sport.
They were just showcases. They didn't even count.
I think they were friendlies. You were flying in and quarantining for 14 days, and now you're lecturing LeBron James.
That's what I do.
With no knowledge of, like, you know, black people might have some earned mistrust of vaccinations and shots that is understandable, but the optics of that are wonderful. But I mean, what is LeBron's responsibility here? Because he's not actually saying anything about it, and he's entitled to his privacy. But if he gives quotes, because of how divided we are as a country and because of how polarizing he is as a figure, just because of how divided we are as a country, basically, if he says anything on this, anything at all, we're going to feed. And so he's dancing around it with a privacy and what looks like a mistrust that has been earned by his community. And so he doesn't want to take a side, not publicly.
This is my thing. This is the only thing you can do. You can't force him to make a statement or say anything, and you can't force him to get vaccinated. But what you can say is this. If you are not vaccinated, this is the set of rules you have to follow. If you are vaccinated, guess what? Willy-nilly over here. And to me, that's the end-all be-all right there. The league wants people to be vaccinated, players to be vaccinated, without forcing them to be vaccinated. It's real simple. Hold people accountable when they do things out of protocol when they're not vaccinated.
Can we maybe be overthinking this? Can it maybe not be about vaccination? Just suspend LeBron when he breaks a rule that everyone else has to follow. Like, just punish him for something, anything, whatever it is, jaywalking. Just punish LeBron for something at any point in his career.
I think it is about the vaccinations, though, because like only 40% of Americans have gotten vaccinated. It's an issue that the CDC is now saying that some people don't want to get vaccinated. So what LeBron says does actually kind of matter, right?
God, I wish I was Chris Whittingham right now, because I want to say, well, actually, as of this weekend, over 60% of American adults have received at least one inoculation, Jessica.
Fully vaccinated, I should say.
Well, you know.
But Jessica is right, though. There are community leaders and thought leaders that are really important in getting people vaccinated. The NBA wanted to have PSAs months ago to encourage people to get vaccinated. People listen to those that are close to them in their lives. And I am a little bit sick of LeBron James only wanting to comment on the things that he is kind of prepared to speak about. And these are major issues. Like, no, I'm going to take this one out. I'm good. I don't want to, like, even if you are giving a controversial opinion, give a controversial opinion. Say what you think. but just like, nah, I'm going to sit this one out. Doesn't matter what I think about the vaccine. LeBron, it does matter what you think about the vaccine.
You want him to speak on something he's not prepared to speak on?
I mean, everyone has a thought about the vaccine. You either are getting it or you are not.
I want him to get the goddamn thing. He's a leader. Get it. I mean, you want to play basketball and win the Larry O'Brien, get vaccinated.
No, but Dan talked about like an earned mistrust of government, an earned mistrust of vaccines. Give voice to that. I actually think a lot of people would listen to LeBron James if that's what he thinks. Now, this might actually end up being, in my view, that guy doesn't want to put anything in his body that might harm him even an iota of a percentage. So I completely get that. But just give voice to what you think. Just like, nah, I'm good. I don't get it.
I agree with Whittingham on the sole fact that the vaccine has now been out for a few months. So the fact that he didn't have an answer prepared to even say, this is my opinion, respect it or don't respect it, and just said, like, he laughed it off and said, it's not a big deal. Like, this is literally a big deal. It is life or death.
I feel like we would rip him, though, if he came out and was, like, anti-vaccine. Like, are you saying you want him to give his honest thoughts or you want him to say what you want him to say?
Well, I mean, I'm ripping him for not saying anything. So he's going to get ripped no matter what. LeBron James gets out of bed in the morning and gets ripped for something. So, I think people should be giving their thoughts on this. And if LeBron James, who last year was very politically involved, and I'm very happy that he did. I mean, Dan, you missed it because you were on vacation, but you wanted to take him to task for not commenting on China. There are things that he's kind of sat out that I don't get.
Just want him to be suspended for something, anything, whatever, flopping. It's ridiculous. How did he hurt his shoulder on that play? Can someone explain that to me? If he hurt himself, it's because he threw himself on the floor pretending that he got hurt in another way. Just suspend him for anything, whatever it is. Am I the only one on this? Am I the only one that wants to see him get suspended for something ever? Rich. Anything. One game, 5 minutes. I don't even care what it is. Just some sort of discipline. Am I crazy?
Has he ever been suspended? Seriously.
No, I don't believe he has. I don't know if any of you guys watch Big Mouth on Netflix. I've been binging it over the weekend. Stu Gatz is like the shame wizard. He just went into everybody's body right here. Chris, Jessica, Billy, everybody just sort of rose up to dispense shame upon LeBron.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Should LeBron be suspended for something, ever, anything, whatever it is?
I've got a take on the whole shoulder thing and his comments, not the vaccine stuff, but I think LeBron knows his team isn't good enough this year. And he's been laying foundation all year just in case, like, they get it into the playoffs. He paints it as a massive achievement. And we'll get to Steph Curry in a little bit, too, because I mentioned Bam Adebayo is treated with kid gloves. Oh, my God. The standard, the very low
ridiculous
bar Steph
so
Curry
right
has to clear. I mean, give me a break with that guy. But I think LeBron kind of knows that the Lakers just aren't that good this year. Anthony Davis had Achilles tenderness has completely changed the type of shooter he was last year in the bubble.
No, okay. Whoa. A lot there. A lot. All right. First of all, you feel like Steph Curry didn't play well enough last week?
I'm saying it's a massive disappointment for a player who is the face of the franchise, a three-time champion, a multiple-time NBA MVP, to get eliminated at home by Ja Morant. It's embarrassing. He's been there. Ja, and I know
not at all.
And I know that Klay Thompson is out injured, but we're talking about one of the more overwhelming teams that he was the centerpiece of, and he is playing at a level we've never seen him play before, and it's still not good enough. You have to start questioning him.
Amin, help me with this, because you've got Steph Curry's season, 32 points per game, led the NBA, oldest to win a scoring title since Michael Jordan, 38 30-point games, most since Michael Jordan, 337 threes, leads the NBA. These are all stats from StatMuse. Fourth 303 season, most ever. Seven 10-3 games, most ever. 5.3 threes per game, most ever. And broke the Warriors' all-time scoring record. Should you expect more from him than that?
According to Mike, yes, right? Bum, what have you done? What? How dare you not take Juan Toscano-Anderson and Mike Mulder to the conference finals, right? No, you're right, Mike. This guy, all he's been doing is resting on his laurels and riding the coattails of other great players. Put him with some borderline G League talent. Then we'll see how good he is. Apparently not good enough.
Okay.
I mean, he had Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins. If LeBron had those guys early on in his career, he would have won NBA titles. What are you doing there?
We are celebrating
a guy for not making the playoffs.
Whoa. What? Andrew Wiggins is something to like be proud of having now?
No, I'm just saying if he was that caliber of a player, I mean, if he was an MVP, he's a two-time MVP, at the very least, you take a team with Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins to the playoffs. Yeah, Mike is 100% right about this.
And meanwhile, well, I hear you. And Steph Curry arguably had his best season. What I'm saying is I've seen great players transcend a lack of star power on their roster. LeBron's able to overcome it. Granted, weaker conferences, but he had a game for his playoff life. Go ahead and name all the Memphis Grizzlies.
If I may, real quick, the comparisons to LeBron... There's no shame in not quite being LeBron.
Bum. No, Dan. No. Bum. You're not LeBron.
That's bullshit. I'm not calling him a bum. F out of here with that. I'm not calling him a bum. He lost at home to Ja Morant. calling him a bum. I'm just saying this shit doesn't happen to really great players.
Hold on, and the fact that no one's
out here talking about him and he just gets escaped, maybe it's because our short attention spans and we move on to the playoffs. That's really friggin' embarrassing for Steph Curry to lose at home to that Memphis Grizzly team.
Memphis Grizzly team is good. What are you talking about? They just won game one against the number one seed.
What are you talking about? If this were the traditional playoffs, the Memphis Grizzlies don't get in. That's a non-playoff team in previous seasons. So get out of here with that. They lost at home a game for their lives against the Memphis Grizzlies. That shit doesn't happen.
The Grizzlies are a good team. Ja Morant is a mother effing winner. A winner. Let me say that one more time. He's a winner. Remember 3 years ago when I told you guys Jimmy Butler is a fucking winner? And you go like, what has he ever won? The same talk we're having it right now about Ja Morant. He is a winner.
Okay, so Steph Curry is not. So Steph Curry is not.
No, because you're trying to make it to Ja versus Steph. But Ja and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Dylan Brooks and Valanciunas, that's a good team.
Get out of here.
That's a good team.
I like Dylan Brooks. I like Dylan Brooks, but now we're calling now Ja Morant is the measuring stick for Steph Curry. Now he can't outdo Ja Morant because Ja Morant, who's in the playoffs for the first time in his career, is a winner. And not the three-time NBA champion. It's just ridiculous. You're guilty of it. You're perpetuating this bullshit. Hold on one second.
We're asking that he makes the playoffs. Like, bare minimum. He's the two-time MVP. We celebrate him every single goddamn night. We celebrate him in the pregame, during the game, and during the postgame. Okay? And we're just asking that he makes the playoffs. Hold on. Damian Lillard, okay? CJ McCollum, out for most of the season. Nurkic, out for most of the season. Still got his team to the playoffs.
Most of the season?
Get your team to the playoffs, Steph Curry. That's it.
Damian Lillard was not out for most of the season.
CJ McCollum was.
Not for most of the season.
He was out for 30 games, I mean.
That wasn't my... Okay, it's a 72-game season, so that's not most of the season. Second of all, I would say, with the exception of probably Charlotte, the Warriors had the worst supporting cast to their star of any team in the top 20. You guys are out of your minds. Look, he's playing with, it's him, Draymond, and then it's his brother-in-law, some dude who went to high school down the street, Mulder, Scully, the whole X-Files. Like, I don't understand what you guys want. There's six games above 500.
Wait,
39 and 33. The fact that they're that good, and by the way, you want to talk about what happened most of the – he had a stretch in the beginning of the year where he was trying to play good team ball Steph Curry, and the guys he's playing with – by the way, I completely forgot about Oubre. That's another story right there. They didn't get it. They didn't know how to play with him because they'd never played with that guy. And it took, like, a whole lot of conversations between the team, not only with the players, the new players. Like, look, when Steph gives you the ball and then runs that way, it's not because he's saying, here, it's your turn. It's because he's waiting for you to give it back to him over there. Then the other thing is also, Steph, you can't expect these guys to know and understand this stuff. You have to show them the legend that they had not seen before. And that was started with that 60-point game that he hung on the Blazers, where he showed them all, yo, just because we're down 15, even with like 4 minutes to go, it ain't going to end yet. I'm Steph Curry.
Stugatz, this is what I love about this argument as you present it, right? Because we're looking at a season from Steph Curry that basically, I think we can all agree on this, he's an unprecedented player, and he just did amazing statistical things in a later in life season, and he's the best shooter that we've ever seen. But what I love about your argument, Stugatz, is you're saying basically that Steph Curry wouldn't be disappointing in the same way that you see him now if Draymond Green had been better at what he did at the end of regulation against Memphis and simply not done something that made all of us laugh because it was such a terrible situation, because Steph is guarded unlike anyone ever. Four guys go and meet him at half court. And so Draymond can go right through the paint by himself from the top of the three-point line and hit the shot clock with a laser beam because he's Draymond Green and he shouldn't be shooting in that situation.
All I'm saying, Dan, is I realize the supporting cast was not as good as it has been in years past. But if you're the two-time MVP, you overcome that and you get your team to the playoffs. What we do with Steph is we don't talk about the bad games. We don't talk about the losing. Why? Because he's a magician. What does he do? He does a couple of trick shots in the pregame, Stugatz, and it makes everything go
Draymond
away.
If Draymond makes that shot.
Series of sideshow.
I got you. I got it. Okay, put it on the poll. Is Steph Curry a sideshow? I ask you again, though. If Draymond Green, let's just say it had bounced off his head and gone in the basket, and now Golden State is in the playoffs. Steph Curry's better? Steph Curry's good by you.
Dan, I'm using your words against you.
We're not having
you.
This conversation. Yeah.
Dan, you say the great players make it to the playoffs. It's impossible for this is
Kobe missed and LeBron missed.
I mean, dude, this is him at the height of his powers. He is without precedent, right? Yep. He's the greatest shooter of all time. He arguably had his best season of all time. I'm not taking that away from him. But the without precedent part is, you've got the greatest player in franchise history. They've won three titles. He's never won a finals MVP. He just had his best season, and he lost a game for his life against Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks. That's a bad look.
I mean, he was the eighth seed. In a normal season, they're in the playoffs. I feel like it's semantics to say he didn't make the playoffs. I mean, they lost to the Grizzlies. That you can hold that against them. But
he spent the weekend doing exactly what we were doing, watching the playoffs.
You feel good about that line to end the segment?
I feel great. Right. Yes, I do. Okay, I am so tired of Steph Curry and celebrating Steph
Curry. I am a little bit, just
I love
because we all
being
forget about
tired
it.
Of someone who has no precedent. This is what I love. Like, I just love that so much. We've reached the point where Stugatz
trick shots before the game. Yay!
He's got it good. When Kobe missed the playoffs, he got killed. And I understand. Kobe was immensely unlikable. And Steph Curry is immensely likable. And because he's cute and adorable, and his game is cool, he catches some breaks. He should be embarrassed. It's so bad. Losing to the Grizzlies at home in a game of your life, being at the apex of your game and missing the playoffs, it's bad. He's never won a finals MVP. He shrinks in the finals. Bad. Bad look. Bad player. Bust. Bum.
Yo, he's Curly Neal. I mean, he's a globetrotter.
There we go.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone, with three times the electrolytes of the lead in sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight, or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Is Jessica's Phil Mickelson take, does it reach Hall of Fame standards of Brady, has done Mahomes. Shame on Andy Reid. And LeBron has done. Is she with? Is that the Mount Rushmore now of bad takes on the show?
Actually, it's Whittingham's Phil Mickelson take, actually. I mean,
how does she keep catching the shrapnel? I really do think
she called him lazy.
You called him bad.
No, I did not. You know, I get defensive when my voice is that high-pitched, by the way.
Mike's was higher pitched than yours was.
And then I turned into Jonathan Sasso of 798. Hey, Steph Curry. Not good. Bad player. Awful player. Loser. At home. Bad.
There's a dog barking outside right now.
You want to know who's awesome? Ja Morant, apparently. Ja Morant is awesome. He's a winner. Yeah, John Moran's awesome. Steph Curry, bad play. Bad play. Terrible.
It's Stugatz's defense, though. I mean, outside of all the championships that Steph's won, how many championships has he won?
Exactly. Thank you, Billy. Right. How many has he won without Clay? Let's start there. So Clay's the real MVP on that team.
Stugatz, I feel sometimes we were robbed. You know what? If I were like a mad scientist, I would want to create a time machine for one reason. So that I could take Stugatz back in time to different points in sports history. And then you do sports talk radio during that era. So like when Jordan was came back in 95, I would just love to hear Stugatz do sports talk radio.
I think there's a bit there. I'm going to try to do it.
What a waste of that technology.
No, Billy, it's not. It's not a waste. It is the most important thing we could do with time travel.
Oh, Bill, if I was on sports radio during some of those Knicks Bulls series, holy shit.
Stugatz, I want to go back to 87 with you. The Pistons have been broken through. They're about to go to the NBA Finals. They're about to beat the Celtics. And then Isaiah Thomas throws the ball away to Larry Bird. What do you have to say about Isaiah Thomas? In that moment, I mean,
Zeke, a complete choke job. Larry Bird, the legend started right there, really. The reason they call him Larry Legend is because of that play. That's where it started, and then he continued on. But Isaiah Thomas, who gets all this credit for being one of the great point guards in the game, to make that mistake in that spot, in that game, with those stakes on that stage, he should be ashamed of himself. He's overrated. Zeke.
Stugatz, the Bills go to the Super Bowl. They lose wide right on the field goal attempt at the end to the Giants. Stugatz, did the Giants win that Super Bowl or did the Bills lose that Super Bowl?
So that was Parcells. That had Big Tuna written all over it. Ball control, kept the ball. So they gave it to Otis Anderson. They gave it to their other running backs. They kept the ball away from Jim Kelly, from Thurman Thomas, from Andre Reed, from that great, great Buffalo offense. That was Parcells' finest moment. He used up most of the clock. He ran the ball 1,000 times for 2 yards per carry. He kicked a field goal at the end. That was a masterpiece by Tuna. I'm serious. That was not Buffalo, I mean, losing a football game. That was Marv Levy being out-coached by the greatest coach in the history of the NFL, Bill Parcells. How about that?
We need to do time travel takes here. We need to just keep going down this out-coached. I mean, go ahead and think of more time travel takes to go ahead and sprinkle through this. But I wanted to ask you, Amin, as Kwame Brown continues to do the things that he is doing on Instagram, one of the things he did was threaten to slap Stephen A. Smith, I think, so much by the back of the head that Stephen A.'s hair would be in front of his face or something like that. And now Stephen A. Smith is saying that he will not respond to this. I will do no such thing. I will not waste my time. That man is right. He's been retired for years, yet all of us have been guilty of getting on him from time to time. He has every right to speak his mind. Go for it. That is Stephen A. Smith backing away from the proceedings in a way I have not seen Stephen A. Smith do before. I mean,
yeah, I think there's a couple of things going on, right? Number one, obviously, Kwame is a guy who has, as he said by his own words, nothing to lose. No endorsements, no TV show, no podcast. So he can do whatever he wants without any kind of reprisal from forces above him. Meanwhile, Stephen A. Smith, no matter how tough we all know him to be, he still has to worry about he's got an employer, the Disney company, that doesn't really look kindly upon physical threats going either way, right? He's got sponsors for his ESPN Plus show and stuff. So I kind of see why there. The other thing is, and I thought I gave voice to it last week when we first talked about it. I think there's genuinely an element of where we feel bad for Kwame, man. Like, the guy has been pushed to this limit because he's been the butt of this joke for 20 years, that a lot of it wasn't really his fault. He was an 18-year-old kid who was put in a tough situation by the best player to ever play the game. And so I think people, particularly in basketball, look at Kwame like, man, like, I feel bad. Like, when he's giving voice to what he's saying, you're right, Dan, last week you said some of the stuff he says you can't agree with. It just sounds terrible. And some of the stuff, he's kind of got a point. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people are landing on that. Stugatz, 2001, Joe Torre overuses Mariano Rivera in the World Series, leading to that crumble in Game 7.
How do you overwork a pitcher, okay? Like, I am tired of Mariano Rivera getting the blame for this, okay? Like, Torre getting the blame for this, excuse me. How do you overwork a closer who pitches one inning per game, at most two, okay? Mariano Rivera is not a starter. He is a closer. You can't overwork a closer. He's there to close games. He's there to close the biggest of games. He's the greatest closer in the history of closers. So if you're Joe Torre, why would you go to anyone other than Mo, than Mariano Rivera, the greatest? You can't overwork a relief pitcher when he's throwing nine pitches per game, and that's what Rivera has done his entire career. Rivera should be able and available to go out there every single night, no complaints, zero. He's never overworked. He's throwing 20 pitches max per game.
Stugatz, we're back in the early 1900s. I believe it was 1918. Red Sox trade Babe Ruth.
Oh, the Red Sox got to be out of their minds. I mean, are you kidding me? To trade Babe Ruth will go down as one of the all-time greats, okay? He's already shown signs of it, and I promise you, 100 years from now, we'll look back and we'll still be talking about Babe Ruth and this trade that the Red Sox made for the Yankees. How do you do that inside the AL East, your main rival, and you are going to gift wrap them the greatest player in the history of baseball when we talk about this 100 years from now?
Well, that is really playing the result there. And 100%.
Well, I'm armed with the results, Dan. Yes, it's nice.
Armed with the results. It's very nice. Yes, to be able to have said 1918 that about Babe Ruth when you spent all of the last 10 years killing LeBron James.
What the Red Sox get back for Babe Ruth? Hey, seriously. I mean, no one will ever make a trade that bad again in the history of sports, except maybe if they get baseball in Florida. There might be a Marlin team who trades away Miguel Cabrera for a couple of Tigers. I mean, the Hopper.
The Hopper 100 years early. You predicted a trade.
I knew it.
A beaten hop.
How do you nail the Hopper but miss the Sultan of Swat and the Great Bambino as nicknames?
I have no idea. But the Hopper's great granddad played for the Red Sox. I knew in the genes. I could see it. I mean, so.
I also think you might have called Amin Amir at one point.
I think I did. I did.
One more Amin.
Stugatz, we're going way back now. David versus Goliath, who you got?
You know, this is a tough one. Usually, so it's, you know, it's speed and quickness and smarts and all that versus brute power and force. And I love brute power and force. So, listen, I love David. He's a Cinderella story, came out of nowhere. I love the guy, but Goliath, sheer power and force. And we know power and force always wins over smarts and guile.
Does Stugatz think that Goliath...
I have no idea who they are.
You're Jewish.
I don't understand why it is you just went
You're
with Goliath...
You're a practicing Jew.
...in an upset. Shalom.
Needs more practice.
I do.
He honestly thinks it's just a cliche and he has no
he
idea.
He doesn't understand
the story. There's a slingshot in
Who cares about the cliche and the slingshot and all that? When you've got Goliath, you know what you've got? You've got championships. You've got rings. You've got never losing because you have Goliath.
I don't think you understand what the story is.
Clearly, rings, Dan. That's what I understand. Goliath's got all of them, and if he doesn't, he'll take them from you. How about that?
David won.
You not know that David won?
That's a big upset.
I think you're here because David
won. Spoiler alert.
Stugatz, next day, David just won. What's your take?
I mean, I can't believe Goliath, who has just brute force and brute power, has all the tools, a five-tool player, I cannot believe that he would lose to a little peon.
He does not know this story. He doesn't know anything about
this. Could have been really funny.
Oh, the slingshot. I get the whole thing.
Brute force is all he gives us on Goliath.
This could have been really funny if he were familiar with how his entire people are here.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
It's called the Star of David. Who do you think
it is?
It's the same David.
He became king, man.
It should be the Star of Goliath. I think I've taken things too far, Dad.
You probably did, yeah.